Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good and all the time. We also know that God has called the church with three commands through His Son, our Savior. Now, many people will tell me and do often, Pastor, there's more commands than that in the Bible. Yes, there are. But Jesus summed all those commands up in three very concise ways. Love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus the Christ. And as we do those three things, the rest of the Bible falls into place in our lives and in our hearts. And we are transformed by the love, grace, mercy, power, and provision of God through the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to welcome you all, and we're doing our second part of a sermon that I started last week. The second part is called Becoming as He Is. The first part was called Conquering the Heart. Now, as I said last week, there's no way I could speak on conquering the heart in one sermon, because that's something you're going to be at work at and you're going to be at work at until the day we are with Him and He finally conquers the heart, because Jesus is the victory in all things. Can I get an amen? And to that, we give ourselves to Him. So then the second part also is something that we will not finish today. There is no way I can bring in everything that the Scripture says about becoming as He is. And many folks out there are looking at this and saying, okay, what does He mean by becoming as He is? For He is God, amen? We cannot become God. And we will never become God. What I am talking about is the heart of God. What I am talking about is what God has apportioned for each and every one of us. Jesus showed us that while He was here walking in full humanity. And that's what we need to become. And that's where we're going to be headed today. So turn in your Bibles, if you will. We are going to be in 2 Corinthians, where we left off. We are in 2 Corinthians, where we left off. And we are going to pick up in chapter 5, beginning in the 14th verse. 2 Corinthians, not 1 Corinthians, Pastor. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, beginning in the 14th verse. Thus saith the word of the Lord. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. For He died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And working together with Him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, at the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. When I think about what it means to become as He is, I am looking at what the Scriptures say here to us when it tells us that we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, but we do so no longer. What is that talking about? Well, while Christ was here, he was fully human. They expected a deity to come and walk among them. The Messiah was to be their salvation, their Savior. I'm talking Israel. And they looked for this one who was going to rule over all the kingdoms of the earth and set up Israel as his place of abode, where they would be the people of choice, the people of promise. That day is coming, but that was not his intended purpose when he came the first time. We all know that the Old Testament speaks that Christ is going to come twice, first for the salvation of mankind, and second as the King of Kings. They didn't want the first time because it meant that they were going to be equal with everybody out there. A special group of people set aside unto God, but they would still be the same as each and every one of us. They wanted that position of authority. Now, I don't know about you, but with authority comes much responsibility. How well did Israel do with their responsibility? How well is the church doing with her responsibility? You see, the nuts don't fall far from the tree, even thousands of years later. We need to remember, God knows that we too are the same yesterday, today, and forever when it comes to humankind. We are sinful from birth. But we need to lay down that sin and pick up the life of Jesus Christ as he walked here on this earth according to the flesh, even though we no longer know him in that fashion. Why don't we know him in that fashion anymore? Because he's in heaven with God and he is back to his full divinity. Remember, while he was here, he was still fully divine. But he had laid down the power of his glory that he would be fully human, incapable of doing anything outside the power of the Holy Spirit. Is that not how you and I walk today? This is how we know him. But we know him that way no longer, for he is in heaven. However, we are to remember what he did while he was here and become as he is. And again, I'm keeping the is there because God is always in ever present tense. I don't want to say was because he's still alive. Can I get an amen? And we need to remember in his full humanity how he lived, what he did. And this is one of the things that I'm going to say above and beyond all things. How many of us want our children to obey us? Yeah, I got a dad over here shaking his head, yes. Yeah, he's got two boys. He knows what we're talking about. Any of us that have children know exactly what we're talking about. Any of us who have been a child know what we're talking about. Anybody that's been out there in the world knows what I'm talking about. That's why societies have millions of laws, because we try to get people to obey the law so that everything works well. How's that going for us? Does everybody obey the law? Absolutely not. And yet the Bible proves itself, because the law is there to provide safety. However, what the law really does is simply point out sin, because man is going to sin. But we need to become as he is. And this is where the rub meets the road. When Jesus was here, was he sinful? Absolutely not. It says in the book of Hebrews that he was tempted in every way that we are tempted, yet was without sin, yet is without sin. Again, present tense. God is not a sinner. Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God, God and very God, did not sin while he was in the flesh. And that's what we need to become. We need to become these people that walk in obedience to what God has for us. And in that obedience, we then become transformed. Because the things of the world, we don't want to do them anymore because we realize how much they're hurting us. Jesus went to the cross. How good was that for him to obey God? It was very good. It was very good, because what it won for him was the surety of approval. How many of us are willing to go through discipline? How many of us are willing to go through hardship? How many of us are willing to go through whatever we need to go through to be changed? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I am looking at a bunch of stiff-necked people. Somebody tell me I'm wrong. I didn't hear anybody, did you? Because we are. We say I'm a good person, but yet we do bad things. Okay? Now I'm going to tell on somebody because I know a secret. Somebody who has never cussed was heard saying a swear word. Can you believe that? If I told you who it was, she's laughing right now. You wouldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I have never heard this person say a swear word. And it just got her to the point where she had to act out a little bit. And when I think about that, because this dear saint, and I do mean that, and I hope you all know I mean that, and I'm not telling you the who, figure it out, has been the most wonderful person I've ever walked with. And I've been walking with this person for well over 20 years. But it just goes to show me, and I pray to show all of us, God says, come as you are. Come as you are. I'm going to receive you wherever you are. And then we're going to walk. And I hate to tell you all this, but it's not a fast walk. It's a slow walk as far as our lives are concerned. Because you see, for God, 84 years is nothing. But for us, 84 years is a lifetime on this side. But when we get into glory, we're going to see that 84 years was nothing. But we got to walk, and it's going to be a slow walk. And that slow walk is meant to help us to actually figure these things out, to change us so that the change is real. How many of you have ever gotten into something and you are all in? Man, on day one, hand in the air, I'm running after this thing, and 6 months later, you want nothing to do with it anymore. I got folks laughing, shaking their head. Yes, we've all been there, haven't we? Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yes, sir. I can remember I was going to raise rabbits. I was going to make $1 million raising rabbits. Yeah, you can only take so much rabbit manure and then you finally get tired of it. It just so amazes me because we get these ideas in our head, and I'm talking about life, okay? This thing comes at us and we are all in. We are all in until we find out it ain't the thing. But I'm going to tell you right now, the one that we can get into who is everything, because he's there in every way and he's there for everything, is Jesus Christ. Because God was there for him. When he went to the cross of Calvary, was not God there for him? He sent angels to attend him. I want you to think about what that means for you and I. Because if we become as he is, obedient to the word in its fullness, will not God be there for each and every one of us in the fullness of who he is to help us get through? He doesn't take it away. Did he take the cross away from Jesus? No. Jesus had to go to the cross. That was his destiny. That was the plan God had for him. God has a plan for you. You're going to walk into that path, but God is going to be there to get you to where you need to be, to the next step that you need to get to. Because he knows ultimately he's going to get us into heaven and he's going to make everything right. But we're going to walk it here on earth just as Jesus did daily. Now it's amazing to me because if he's truly the Son of God, why wasn't he doing miracles at the age of 3? Well, because it wasn't time. It wasn't time. When he turned 12, what did he do? He began teaching at the synagogue, at the temple. I need you all to understand, not just the synagogue. He was at the temple courts. And he was teaching the teachers at the age of 12. And mom and dad went looking for him. Mary and Joseph turned around and went all the way back to Jerusalem because they thought he was with, you know, he's an obedient kid. We never have to see where he is, what he's doing. How would you like to find this 12-year-old who's never done anything wrong? Now all of a sudden he's not with you. Where did he go? What's going on? We thought we could trust him. What was his words to his mother? Did you not know that I would be about my father's business? In other words, he did not sin. He did not disrespect the mother. He was doing what the father had called him to do. And you and I need to understand that. That while others may pull at us and want things from us, what does the father want from us? And are we to be about those things of the father, becoming as he is? You and I need to be plugged into what God wants for us in our lives, where we are, when we are. How many of you know God is a God that does not respect time? You know, it's amazing to me because time means everything to us. Time runs our lives, doesn't it? How many of you have a watch on your wrist right now or a cell phone in your pocket with the clock on it? How many of you have 2 and 3 clocks in your house? How many of you have 15 alarms set on your phone? How many of you have a calendar that goes off to tell you when something's coming up? We live by time. God does not live in time. God controls time. And Jesus gave his time to the Father. In other words, if he was headed in a direction and God said, I want you to go this direction, what did Jesus do? He listened to the Father and he went in that direction. How many of us are willing to make that change? How many of us are willing to change direction simply because we know the Father wants us to change direction? How many of us need to walk down that other road for a little while and get beat up and then finally come to our senses and take the right path? Am I the only one that walks that road? And you all know I've walked it. If you've been with me any sense of time, you all know I've walked it. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you are walking the road that God has before you, it says in the scriptures that he will make level paths before you. Now, how many of you have found the path of God to be a level path without any obstacle? Anybody? I love it. I love it. God did not say that he was going to take the obstacles out of your way. God said he's going to make level paths. What does he mean by that? There's only one choice. Follow me. That's a level path. That's a level path. In other words, he's going to make your life in such a way that you have to follow him. Because anything other is going to put you outside of the will of God, and you can get hurt. Do you all know that we can make the choice to get hurt, right? We can all choose hurt. But Jesus never chose hurt. Jesus chose to follow the Lord. And it led him to the cross of Calvary. But that killed him. How can you say he didn't get hurt? I'm not talking the way we talk in our world. I'm talking spiritually. I'm talking in the way of Christ. I'm talking in the way of God. I'm talking in the way of truth. I'm talking in the way of righteousness. You and I need to understand this world is here. It's a test. How many of you know this world is a test? This entire life is a test. And it's graded on the cross, not the curve. And Jesus has already passed it. And all we need to do is follow him. He's made that level path for us. He's spelled it out. Everything he wants us to be is right here. When we think about being a new creation, verse 17, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Those new things are opportunities to choose properly. How many of us, when we were outside of Christ, chose properly? In some instances, we did, right? But in many instances, we didn't. In many instances, we chose the thing that we thought was going to bring us the most joy, the most happiness, the most, you know, oh boy, I'm going to have a good time. And the next thing you know, you were hugging the porcelain bus. For those of you who don't know what the porcelain bus is, come see me. I'll tell you afterwards. We all know that we've made bad choices. And Jesus says, man, I'm here. Come as you are. As you are, come to me, and I will show you the right path. You may have to go through something two or three times until you get it right, but how many of you are glad God does not forsake us or leave us? Because He'll walk with you. He'll walk right up to the bar with you if that's where you're going to go. He will walk right up to whatever situation that you're going to walk yourself in, and He's going to be there through the power of the Holy Spirit reminding you the whole time, this isn't good, this isn't good, this isn't good. But He's not going to tell you you can't do it. Why? Because we are people of free will, and God wants us to choose to love Him. God wants us to choose to love others. God wants us to choose to go. He's not going to force you. He's not going to force me. He didn't force Jesus. Why do you think when the dove descended upon Christ at His baptism, God said, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased"? You do realize at that point in time, what did John say to Jesus? John was standing there at the waters of baptism. And it was so amazing because Jesus came to be baptized. The Holy One came to be baptized. One who had never sinned before came to be baptized. And John looked at him and said, "Whoa, what are you doing here? You should be baptizing me." And Jesus said, "No, it is good at this time for all things to be proper that we do it this way." Because Jesus was showing us there is a way that is right unto the Lord. And Jesus was found in every one of those senses to be right. We need to become as He is. Now, I think it's amazing because I just preached on that. And how many of you realize and remember that today we have a baptism going on? Do you think I planned this sermon and the baptism for the same day? No, I didn't. But I can guarantee you, God did. When this all came together, I'm standing back and I'm thinking, everybody's going to think I planned this, that I put this together. Folks, I'm not that smart. You all know me. And if you don't, ask the lady sitting in the front row. God knows what's coming. God knows who we are and whose we are. Today, how many of you saw the rain clouds outside when we got here? I walked outside with my wife in tow, and I said, "Lord, give us a window of opportunity for this baptism to take place. I want you all to turn around and look out the window now. I do believe the sun is shining." God knows what's in store. Are we going to become as He is and receive the blessings that only God can bring? Because that is what's happening to us as we allow this newness of life to come unto us. God is going to change us. All that old stuff is going to fall away. And gladly so, because it so entangles us. It stops us from moving forward and finding the love and hope of Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us. And again, He says, "I've given this very ministry," the very ministry that Jesus had, the ministry of reconciliation, which was bringing all of us before God. Now it's our ministry. It's what we're supposed to be doing. Our life is to be an example unto those who are coming up under us, to come as you are. You know, I think it's a horrible thing, and I've seen this a lot as a pastor, where we get people in the church who will put down people of the world because they don't know Jesus, and look how messed up they are. But what they forget is that's once who they were. Only by the grace of God are we where we are. So therefore, let us remember, you came as you were, so too the world will come to us, and God will change them. We're just supposed to be there to love on them and to lead them unto righteousness as ambassadors for Christ with the ministry of reconciliation. Be ye reconciled unto God. Is that not what it says? How many people are going to want to come into a church that condemns everybody? How many people are going to want to come into a church who is so legalistic that nobody finds grace? How many people are going to want to come into a church where the people are so haughty and full of themselves that no one fits? You know, when you find the perfect church, do not attend because you will wreck it. That's pretty harsh stuff, Pastor. You all know I'm speaking the truth because I'm speaking to a congregation who's not normal. I mean that in a good sense. You folks that are laughing, you think I'm being mean. I'm not being mean. I mean that in a good sense. You aren't normal. We get people coming in. I heard it just today. Dennis is halfway up the aisle. He's supposed to be down here, but he was going after cake, I believe. He was supposed to be down here greeting people. And they're coming in the door. Hi, folks. Hi. You having a good week? He was going after cake, but he was going to make sure they were greeted. That's the kind of people we got. They'll leave the cake just to say hi, but then we'll get back to the cake. That's the kind of people Jesus wants, because then you're going to invite the people to go along to get the cake. And isn't that what it's all about? Because we know there's better yet to come. Amen? Man, how does that fit? And I'm not the one who put a cake up there today. 50-year anniversary. 50 years they're married. And by God, I'm telling you, they don't look like they're 50 years old yet. What a life. 50 years walking with the Lord. All that time, Dennis? Miss Debbie was really shaking her head no. I think it's awesome. But since you have, how much of your life's changed? Everything. Praise His name. Because as we walk, when we come out of the things of this world and we become as He is, life has purpose, life has reason, life has peace, life has power. And in that we find ourselves. Turn in your Bibles with me to our second scripture, which is Colossians 3. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be in chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Because when we come out of 2 Corinthians 5, we understand now is the day of salvation. That is what we spoke, and that's what I want each and every one of us, I want you out there on the internet to realize, to believe, to know. Because the truth of the matter is, we are now walking in the day of salvation. Because without Christ, there is no salvation. This is the day of salvation. When the Holy Spirit is gone, there is no longer an opportunity for salvation. You all do understand that. But let us come to the place of knowing what it means. Therefore, verse 1, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also, Put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, and free man, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Can I get an amen? Brothers and sisters, there it is. I can't add anything more to it or take anything away from it. You know, sometimes, just sometimes, God speaks plainly, doesn't he? I think more times than not. What the problem is this gray matter here that we have to filter everything through. Can I get an amen? Because of the sin that so entangles. Okay? Hebrews is very clear on that. That sin entangles. It does not allow truth to pass through easily, because it's a snare and it catches us up. But when we walk in truth, when we walk in truth, for truth will set you, all of a sudden the Word of God begins to make full, comprehensive sense. And when we think what God has said here for us, that we're not supposed to walk in these wicked ways, that we need to forgive people. You know, some of the hardest things I've had to do in my life is forgive people that have truly hurt me. Because what is the heart of man? Evil. How many of us have wanted to hurt somebody? Because they pulled out in front of us, or they cut us off, or whatever. We have no idea what that person's going through. We have no idea what's in their mind. We have no idea how a person is walking in this world. But when it intersects ours and something offends me, we take offense. Rather than speaking blessing and prayer over that individual, how many of us blast them? Yeah, I've been there. I still do it. And I'll tell you right now, one of the harshest things I ever hear is my wife looking at me or my son looking at me and saying, "Okay, Pastor." Woo. They remind me quickly of who I'm supposed to be. I'm still a work in progress, and I know you are. How many of you are getting good at it? And you are, aren't you? How many of you are getting better? Amen. And that's where I am. I want to get better until I'm to the point where I'm whole and wholly His. And I'll tell you right now, that's not going to happen until we get to the other side. But we are to be a work in progress. We are to be these people who seek after these very things that I just spoke to you of. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Amen? But you know what? Many of us do that, but how many of us do what the verse before it says? And this is something that it has taken me a long time, because I am there. I'm going to tell you right now, I am there. It says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." I think it's one of the most amazing things that I have found. When I'm in the car, if any of you have ever been, and the guys that go to the mountains and my wife, you've been in the car with me, Brother Bobby's going to get a whole 9 hours of it on Wednesday. The radio is not on. Can I get an amen? Yeah, that's true. Because pastor has something better to do than listen to the radio. While I'm in that car, I am talking to God. I am praising God. I am literally having an open conversation with Him. My life is a walking conversation with God, constantly speaking the psalms and hymns and just bringing these things up. Why? Because it fills my soul. It feeds me. And in it, I find that it is easy to do that which is right and good. But when I'm listening to this stuff that's out there on the radio, all it does is bring me down and confuse me. Because I don't know about you, but they sing so fast, I can't pick out but like every third word. And some of the words you don't want to pick out. And it's the same way with television. I look at what our world is pumping into us. What about all these people? I just read this. Do you know the average male from the age of 18 to 32, guess how many hours a day they spend watching, looking at a screen? And I'm not talking about at work. Seven hours a day looking at a screen. That's your cell phone, that's the computer tube, you know, that's TV. 7 hours a day. The average male between the... Yes, that is terrible, and it's an emergency in life. We're gonna hold here for just a second until the siren quits. But we're going to pray while that's going. Brother Bobby, pray for these people that are getting receiving help. And amen. For those of you out there, is the internet still on, Pete? Oh, it's on silent? Okay. Because for those folks who are out there on the internet, I'm sure you can hear it. The speakers or the mics have to be picking it up. We are right next to a firehouse and ambulance house. So right now, some people are in need of help. And we definitely want to lift them up and thank God that our first responders are there to do just that. But may we, as the body of Christ, lift every time we see an ambulance. How many of you, when you're driving down 81, when you're driving the turnpike, and all of a sudden the car's all back up, you think about how inconvenienced you are? What should we be thinking about? Those who are involved in whatever is stopping what's going on, because they're the ones who need prayer. You're in there for another reason other than what you think. It's not meant to delay you. It's meant for you to minister. That's what it means to be ambassadors of Christ, that we are to minister reconciliation, that we should be praying for those individuals who are out there. That is becoming as Christ. Again, as I was saying, in my car, I listen to nothing. At my home, I don't watch TV, all right? If I want to find something out, I go investigate. I look for what I need to look for, and I try to limit the amount of time that I'm before a tube. 7 hours a day. You work approximately 8 hours, travel time to and fro. Let's say it's nine and a half hours. Then you put 7 hours into a tube. You've got to sleep sometime. Where's life? Where's life? You see, the evil one knows that he can trap us. But God has said there is life, and life abundantly. And as we walk this life, taking our time to praise God, thank God, walk with God, He will open life up to us. And I see more glory than you will ever imagine. I can remember one day in particular, I was going to the hospital. This was with my first blood clot in this leg. And it was terrible. No, excuse me, that was my second blood clot. That was my second blood clot. My wife was taking me to the hospital. That was the one in this leg that just about killed me again. I was on the way to the hospital, and I was just praying to the Lord, Lord, please, you know, I don't know what's going on, but this is not good. My leg was as big as my waist and severe infection in it. And when I got to the hospital, they said, you know, we're going to have to amputate your leg. It's the only way you're walking out of this hospital. Can I get a thank you, Lord? Yeah. Don't always believe the doctors. There's a greater physician. Anyway, on my way to the hospital, as Lynn's driving me, I should have had an ambulance, but that's my ignorance. My wife is driving me, and I'm praying to the Lord in the back seat, and we're going. And I said, Lord, is everything going to be all right? I just got to trust in you and hope that everything comes out. And you all know me, and you all know my God, right? I'm driving down the road. My wife's driving down the road, and I look over on the hill. I just lifted my head from prayer. And have any of you ever seen those sunbeams that come out of heaven and highlight a spot on the ground? You ever seen those things and said, wow, isn't that awesome? That beam of light's coming through the clouds and focusing right there on that little point, and it just looks like heaven is putting a period on something. Well, that was happening right in front of us at about 50 yards, and right in the middle of that sunspot, which was about as big as the circle here in the middle of the gym, stood a beautiful buck. Do you think God was talking to this pastor? Y'all know me, right? Yeah, he was talking to me. It was Rich. I'm here. You're going to be okay. Trust me. Trust me. Yeah, God talks to us. He talks to us through signs and wonders. He talks to us through His Word. He talks to us that we would have the hope of all the things that He has promised to us. And today, I want you to understand, He talks through you to the world. Whether it be through your life as you live it and give it, or if you have to, if you dare, speak. And don't worry about what to say. Well, but Pastor, I'm not you. Don't worry. Is God in you? Then let Him out. Let Him out. And you would be surprised what He says through you. And I'm going to tell you right now, some of the dumbest things you will ever say will be exactly what that person needs to hear. And I'm going to tell you right now, I can attest to that. Because I have said some really dumb things at a bad time, or I come out and I'm like, why did I say that? And that person comes back to me 2-3 days later, Pastor, how did you know what to say to me? And I'm like, I thought I was a total idiot for saying what I just did, because I wasn't in control of my tongue. It just came out. Anybody else ever been there? But it's exactly what God wants you to do. When you are yielded to Him, when you are raised up in Him, when you are walking in Him as this new creation, and the power of the Holy Spirit is working through you, you will be surprised what God will lead you to say, to whom He'll lead you to say it. Don't be afraid to speak. But better yet, don't be afraid to live. To live becoming as He is. That means being obedient to the Word. That means being submissive to the will of the Holy Spirit. And that means being in action as Christ was to each and every one of us, forgiving us even before our trespasses began. Is that not true? We've got a long way to go, and in the scope of eternity, a short time to get there. But may we all reach the finish line, having run the race and receiving the crown of glory that Christ has apportioned to us. Pray with me, church. Father God, we are all in a race, each and every one of us. It's called the human race. And Lord, in that may we truly become human, caring under the heart for others, loving You, and going with the gospel of Jesus Christ, teaching everyone everything that You have commanded us, and bringing disciples into this world. Father, we thank you for the life that you've given us in Christ Jesus, and may it be new and fresh each and every morning. And if there's anyone out there who does not know that life but wishes to know that life, Father God, may their hearts be open to you, and may they simply ask in the name of Jesus Christ, confessing that he is Lord, and thereby receiving the salvation of their souls even this day. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you have set us on the path of conquering the heart and becoming as he is. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.